Eventually, things fade. People move on. We'll be reminded, but we'll move on. I was encouraged by an article in a weird way that I saw, because there's a lot of explaining going on. We don't know. I don't know if this country is going to be overrun by fascists eventually. I'm very tired of people talking about, like, hey, I don't want the political talk. This isn't political talk. This is the life or death of our form of government talk. That's not political. This is reality. You know, if you're not invested enough to see the truth, which is that there is a kind of crudely organized but very big fascist movement in this country, American nationalists, fascists, they call themselves patriots, yet they're fundamentally un-American because of their lack of respect for the Constitution that guides this country, that it's based on our democracy. So they are a shameless fascist movement who believes and buys into a fundamental lie about the last election and also a mythology that is incorrect. Two key ingredients of fascists. How do you delude the angry people? How do you trigger them into killing? How do you get them to see everybody but like-minded people as others, as animals, as fodder, as things to be killed or gotten rid of? How do you do that? A lot of answers, a lot of explanations, a lot of speculation. But the one thing I can tell you is that it's happening. It's real. And I got no patience for this conversation around, you know, Twitter shutting people out. Good. Good. You want to talk about censorship and all that garbage and how it's the seed of totalitarianism and it's the free press? Not the free press. It's a private company. Publicly traded. Private company. But it makes its own decisions. And for a company, an information distribution company, a content distributor, to make a decision around filtering content that is clearly supporting a fascist movement to overthrow the government of our country, I don't know that that's censorship. That seems pretty practical. Because everybody wants to survive. People want the freedom to live the life they want to live. And companies want the freedom to exploit those people in a way that doesn't cause the entire fucking thing to go up in flames. I'm not saying it's not a challenging conversation, but it's not censorship in the way that the First Amendment plays into it. Go out and talk all you want. Find another outlet. I'm sorry, sad Trumpy can't just get on TV like an ordinary fucking president and use the bully pulpit there. Why he has to, because it doesn't repeat enough. He can't pound it and pound it and pound it on all levels into people's heads. Fragile people who believe the bullshit, who get triggered by his narcissism. He invented them. He invented their minds. They are extensions of him. It's not political. They may have been angry. There have always been racists and white nationalists and fucking hateful whack jobs in this fucking country. It was built by some. But he activates. He's a radicalizer. So when a private company, or many of them, who make their bucks through content distribution decide, well, this content is dangerous to everybody, that's a private company's decision. In the middle of all this, there was an interview in Scientific American, because, you know, everyone's looking for answers. What are we going to do with these people? Well, this is the only thing I've seen, and I've said this before, I'm not claiming to know anything, but I believe that, not unlike anything else anyone's passionate about, eventually you lose interest. If it's not in your face all the fucking time, it's not pounded into you all the time, if your obsession isn't triggered constantly, if you cut the fucking head off the snake. It's an interview in Scientific American with this thinking human named Bandy X. Lee, who is a forensic psychiatrist and president of the World Mental Health Coalition. And the question presented them, what attracts people to Trump? What is their animus or driving force? And the answer this smart human gave was, the reasons are multiple and varied, but in my recent public service book, Profile of a Nation, I've outlined two major emotional drives, narcissistic symbiosis and shared psychosis. Does that sound like a relationship you're in? Narcissistic symbiosis refers to the developmental wounds that make the leader-follower relationship magnetically attractive. The leader, hungry for adulation to compensate for an inner lack of self-worth, projects grandiose omnipotence, while the followers, rendered needy by societal stress or developmental injury, yearn for a parental figure. When such wounded individuals are given positions of power, they arouse similar pathology in the population that creates a lock-and-key relationship. Shared psychosis refers to the infectiousness of severe symptoms that goes beyond ordinary group psychology. When a highly symptomatic individual is placed in an influential position, the person's symptoms can spread through the population through emotional bonds, heightening existing pathologies and inducing delusions, paranoia, and propensity for violence, even in previously healthy individuals. I'm quoting this interview with this person, Bandy X. Lee, forensic psychiatrist and president of the World Mental Health Coalition. But here's the line. Here's the line. The treatment is removal of exposure. That's the quote. Okay, how do we stop fascism? How do we stop a violent, anti-American coalition being led by the president of the United States, who has just been impeached for causing an insurrection? The treatment is removal of exposure. He's going to be out of office. He's been banned from social media platforms, from propagandizing. So maybe over time, that removal of exposure will settle things down. Or it's just going to be a bloody shit show for the rest of however long this fucking country survives.